Welcome in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. Anita Marks here with Jeff Feagles, a.k.a. Feegs. What is up? I mean, we haven't hosted a show together in, what, almost 2 years, right?
Band back together. So here we are. I don't know what instrument you're playing.
Unfortunately, I don't think we're having some technical difficulties. His mic isn't working. So
I can hear myself.
Can you?
I guess that's good for me, but...
Okay. All right. Well, I can't hear you. But so it's a good thing you're sitting right next to me.
I'm not very good at hearing, though, so we need volume.
All right, so we welcome you in. Again, Big Blue Kickoff Live. It is high noon. Thank you so much for joining us for your lunch break. Let's face it, probably a number of people out there watching the show or at their cubicle, at their desk. Maybe they picked up a sandwich from Jimmy John's or somewhere like that. And
we're going to have lunch after this.
So we are.
We invite you guys to have lunch with us.
Yes. And then we'll eat after. Because we're at the facility.
Because we got stuff to do.
Obviously, we know the players took the train down to Washington. Big Thursday night football game tonight. The Giants going up against Washington. And so there's really nobody here at the facility except us. We've had the entire lunchroom to ourselves, and they cooked a big feast.
It is a little bit weird coming in here. When the team is not here, its place is empty.
Right.
So Anita was going to meet me, but she came in and had this crazy hairdo.
I did. Did you see it when I came in? My hair was a complete...
It looks better now.
It was a disaster, wasn't it?
I took all of about 10 seconds to get my hair done today. And no makeup, as usual.
Right.
I don't need it. But we're ready to go. Like you said, this place is deserted when the team's on the road, and for good reason. They're down in Washington, which... You know, Anita, that is it's a huge stadium, and believe it or not, but I was able to play in the first game ever in that stadium back when I played with the Cardinals. And I remember walking into that stadium and looking at it, and at the time it was probably the biggest stadium in the country. But I will tell you this, the field is horrible. And the Giants and Redskins play tonight. It looks like the weather is going to be okay. But if it's not, you know, we're going to see how this running game supports both teams. I think really when we're going to talk about the game tonight and some of the strategies that we have, Anita, for going into the game is the running game for both these teams has been good the last couple weeks, and we'll see. But the field is not good there. I don't know. Why do you just not put turf in the field?
Maybe the Washington team feels that it's an advantage for them. Listen, Bill Belichick was a master at utilizing that home field up in Foxborough, of course, until they changed their turf. But, again, let's reopen the show for you. Big Blue Kickoff Live, Anita Marks, Jeff Feagles with you for the next hour. Phone lines are open. 201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Also, I'll be monitoring Twitter throughout the show. Make sure you include that hashtag GiantsChat. I will share your questions and your comments with our listeners. Of course, Jeff is here to answer all questions as the Giants get ready for Thursday night football. And let's, first and foremost, let's talk about Thursday night football, Jeff.
Okay.
Because there are a number of players, coaches, owners out there that just can't stand it. You have two teams that played on Sunday, typically, right? And then it's a short work week. For example, the Giants only had like one full practice this week, and that was on Tuesday. You've got a number of players that are beat up, and not that Rashad Jennings is beat up, but what, he carried the rock 34 times?
That's a lot.
Rushed
that
for 176
yards.
Yeah, and I mean, it takes some time for your body to recover from that, and it's a short work week, and now they have to put back on the pads, get out there and play again on Thursday night. How tough is that coming from a player's standpoint?
From my perspective, it was even tough as I got into later in my career, into my late 30s, early 40s, which not many guys play into that age level. But here's the thing. No matter what position you're playing, you're used to going to practice on Wednesday as it being your first practice of the week. Well, the Giants were at their last practice of the week yesterday, which really was only a walkthrough. And it's tough physically. But you got to put that aside. You got to get in the training room. You got to do all the things that you have to do to get your body back, whether that's, you know, the massages and the acupuncture and eating right and all that stuff. But the bottom line is you still feel like you're not ready to play a football game. But when they go down there to play the Redskins tonight, that all goes out the door. Because one thing, too, Anita, is it's fair for both teams. it's not like just the Giants played on Sunday and are playing Thursday. The Redskins did too, and they played in a, you know, a battle of a game. They lost a lot of players on offense and defense, which we'll get into later, but physically it's tough. What you have to do from a perspective of the player and the coaches is that the coaches put preparation in for this game way before the season even starts. They start to scout the team and get the game plan ready at a basic level, and then the Giant coaches get together right after the game on Sunday and start working again for this game plan. But they've already got stuff in the books and ready to go, and then they just kind of piecemeal it together and get the game plan ready. But there's a lot of preparation and mental reps that go into getting prepared for a Thursday night game.
As we know, both these teams sitting at 1-2, the Giants coming off of a really impressive victory against the Texans. And I know a lot of people are making it, well, they didn't have Arian Foster. They didn't have their best player. So what? I mean, I think the really positive thing you can take out of this, Jeff, is the fact that now for the second week in a row, we've seen this offense get better. This was the main concern for me coming into the season. I really thought the Giants were going to struggle just because what we saw in the preseason never really saw even one series of this offense being on the same page and being able to execute. So it's a work in progress, and we're seeing it really each and every week. So that's why, pardon me, I hope the rain stops in Washington. I hope that they play. Obviously, the field's going to be a mess, but hopefully it's not raining. I want to see, is this offense, Jeff, going to take the next step in coming together against a Washington defense that is hobbled? Absolutely. It is an infirmary there in our nation's capital when it comes to the Washington team.
Well, I think when you look at the way that the National Football League and the CBA and how everything came down with practicing and when the players can be on the field, collectively as a starting group, offensively, defensively, and special teams, the starters of this team and the Giants really got to play, I want to say, three full quarters, maybe three and a half. And when you're going into preseason, four preseason games, the starting units play maybe three quarters at together. And putting in a new system and all the new players that the Giants have this year, it's very difficult to establish a rhythm. So what I've seen in my theory is this, is that the first two games of the football season for the Giants this year has been really their preseason. Okay, they came out of it 0-2, but the fact is that each game you saw little components of the offense and defense getting better and better, and finally against the Houston Texans last week, you saw them put it all together. Okay, so really, if the Texans game, now this is kind of a hypothetical what I'm speaking about here, but the Texans game was the first game of the season because really those starters got to play two full games, playing next to each other. That offensive line is playing better. They're gelling together. They've got the guys that are around them, because we both know in the preseason this year, that offensive line was just a turnstile. You know, Richburg playing this way and all of them playing all over the different place, but now they're all kind of back together and playing well together, and they're going to need it tonight.
Jeff Fiegels, Anita Marks with you till 1 o'clock Eastern time here on Giants.com. You're listening to Big Blue Kickoff. You're actually watching Big Blue Kickoff Live. Phone lines are open 201-939-4513. And as always, I'm monitoring Twitter. You can follow us at Giants, hashtag Giants Chat, and I will share your questions and comments with everyone. Jeff, let's head out to the calls. Let's go to line three. We have Max calling in from New York City. Max, welcome. You're first up. What you got?
Hello?
Max, you there?
Max. Is it Matt or Max? But whoever it is, you're not there.
So. Again, unfortunately, we're having some technical difficulties, but hang with us. We are going to get them corrected. Again, 201-939-4513 is the phone number. Jeff, interesting stat here. Home teams on Thursday night are 3-0 so far. So hopefully the Giants break that trend that's going on right now. And Bob Papa earlier this week made an excellent point. You know, teams that have to travel during those Thursday games have an immense disadvantage. But considering that the Giants take a train, two and a half, three hour
still travel
train,
though. It's still getting. You know, you got to get on a bus. You still got to get to the train station.
Right.
Just like you got to get to the airport. By the way, taking the train was my favorite because we went to Baltimore, we went to Washington. There's lots of room. You're able to sit and play cards with your buddies. You're able to get up and walk around and make sure that when you go in between the two trains that you watch the gap. Nobody, you know, falls through on the train. But it was a lot better. But it's still travel. It's still packing your bags up. It's still staying in a hotel. Where if you're the home team, you know, you don't have to leave. You get to go home and sleep in your own bed. And,
right.
Well, they got to go to the hotel normally, but at least it's their home hotel. But there is a disadvantage to traveling, no matter even if it is on the train. It's still the same.
All right. Well, let's head back out to our lines. I believe we've got them corrected. Let's go to line one. We kick it off with Alex from Georgia. Alex, welcome to the show. Alex, you there?
I can barely hear you. I'm asking.
We can hear you.
For Jeff.
Turn the volume up.
I can hardly hear you. I'm sorry. I'm not having a good connection. But my question for Jeff is this. How does Quinton Demps determine whether or not to run out from the end zone on a kickoff?
Okay, so I can barely hear you too, but I think you'd ask me what determines Quinton Demps running out of the end zone for a kickoff. Is that what you said? Yeah, he's gone. I don't know. I didn't get all that. Something about Quinton Demps and the kickoff and running out of the back.
Well,
of the
let's
end
talk about special teams then.
Well, I mean, well, we can definitely talk about special teams.
I'm assuming that that's what the question was about. So again, I apologize.
Well, we can start with the Giants special teams, and we have seen that through the first 3 weeks of the season that they have had their problem. Number one being that they had a punt that was partially blocked that got Steve Weatherford hurt. And that's going to have a lasting effect on that part of the game. It went into the Arizona game where you saw the kickoff, the punt return for a touchdown, a low kick, and that's not Steve Weatherford. And then you go into the Houston game last week. The Giants give up a 4th-and-1 fake punt. Shane Leckler, not the greatest quarterback, but one of the best punters ever, but they convert that. And then you have a negated 17-yard return by Preston Parker, who, by the way, has given the Giants a lot of better returns than we've seen in the past. And I think that that's a bright spot of the special teams. But then they have a penalty on DeMontre Moore, who decides to push a guy in the back, a legal block, and then they get that punt return wiped away. And then you have the field goal mishap that happened. But one thing that DeMontre Moore said to himself is, listen, if I'm going to get a penalty and negate a long return on a punt return, I'm going to go block a kick. So that's a positive for the Giants. Talking about the Redskins special team, they're having just as much problems with their special team. They missed a field goal. They had a 106-yard return for a touchdown last week against the Philadelphia Eagles. So I think it's a toss-up between these two special teams. And really, when it comes down to a division game, on a Thursday night, and what I think is going to be a close game, special teams is something that has to be won in order to try to win this football game tonight for the Giants. And I think that I give the advantage to the Giants on special teams. I think they have a better kicker. I think they have a veteran punter, even though that he's hurt. And I think their return game with Quinton Demps is pretty good, too. So we'll see what happens with the special teams. But really, Anita, when we talk about a competitive edge, if it's going to be a close game, special teams sometimes can be the one part of the game that takes you over the edge and wins the game.
Absolutely. Jeff Eagles, Anita Marks, and, of course, you, 201-939-4513. Let's go to line three. We have Andrew from PA. Andrew, welcome.
Hello?
Hi, Andrew.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, wow, I really can't hear you guys. But, before I get into tonight's game, I just really needed something to vent about. I listened to a lot of podcasts about the NFL, and one of them in particular, they had just really, I mean, everybody always wants to trash Eli Manning and the Giants, but it's just like lies. Like it's a bunch of bitter Jet fans that are mad because they haven't won a Super Bowl since 1969. Eli Manning is, in my opinion, definitely, he has his bad moments, but he is a great quarterback. And with weeks like last week where we actually have the offensive line holding their blocks, he can really put together a win. But on to tonight's game. The biggest thing that I'm nervous about is the fact that it's a Thursday night game away in the rain. And I'm hoping that we don't run Rashad Jennings into the ground, because I'd like him to last for quite a while. So I'm really looking forward to hopefully seeing, Andre Williams And what kind of game do you think he'll be able to put together tonight if, say, he gets maybe 15 carries?
It's a great question. It's something that Paul DeTino and I talked about earlier this week, and I just mentioned it. It's a short work week. We saw how many carries Rashad Jennings got in week three. How much do you feel that they're going to monitor what they're doing with Rashad, and we're going to see a bigger dose of Andre Williams? Even, Peyton Hillis. As well as Peyton Hillis later on the season.
Well, I think that both of those guys are healthy. They certainly are not feeling the impact of coming off a game running for 176 yards and 34 carries like Rashad Jennings had last week. But I think the game plan for the Giants tonight is not to run the football. I think, and because of that, is they have a great front seven. I believe that they're number one in the NFL. From what I do, and the red zone defense, but
right.
More importantly, their run stopping defense, I think, is fourth. So the game plan for the Giants tonight is going to be try to go after the injured secondary for the Redskins. Okay, that quick passing game, and try to attack the rookie corners and go there. So Rashad Jennings is going to get his share of carries, and maybe Andre Williams a little bit more. But the fact is that I don't think that they're going to try to make him their bell cow like they did last week against the Houston Texans. So, and more importantly, I don't think that he can carry that workload again tonight 34 times because of this coming off of a short week.
There you are. I finally hear you.
I can hear you. Wait, can you hear me?
High five. We're 15 minutes into it. We've got this going.
But I cannot hear you.
We have taken off. 201-939-4513. Big Thursday night football game here for the Giants. Well, actually, in Washington. The Giants, the offense, we've seen them improve the past 2 weeks. I know we've been spending a lot of time talking about the offense, but what about the defense? Jameel McClain, starting at the middle linebacker position for John Beeson last week, actually did extremely well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, we can talk about this because we're only into the third game of the season, but the fact is really these linebackers going into training camp this year, John Beeson was absent. You have Kennard coming in here who's been a great surprise, and I think that the team really likes him. My point is they were interchangeable. Coach Hermans went in there and said, you know what, Kennard, get in there at the Sam. Okay, Paysinger, go here. McClain, play here. They switched them all around because you know in this league that it's going to come down to exactly what's happened today. John Beeson is going to be out of the lineup tonight, and these guys had to be able to play different positions. And McClain is a veteran. I think the Giants can trust him. I think he is a nice fit in that Giant defense. However, when you have somebody like Mark Herzlick coming into the game tonight, he's not a starting linebacker in this league. He's predominantly plays special teams. So from a perspective from the Redskins, I think they'll try to attack that. And I think they're going to try to run the ball against that linebacking crew. But as far as McClain, he did a good job last week, and he brings a lot of leadership that John Beeson leaves on the sideline, but McClain comes back there and gives that added benefit to them on the field.
Exactly. 201-939-4513. Let's continue with your calls, and we go to Big Ed calling in from Maryland.
What's up, Big Ed?
Welcome to the show.
What's up?
How are you?
So good to catch you finally at 12 o'clock.
Big Ed,
all right.
Are you a big guy, or is that just kind of like something you're bigger than you are, and you just call yourself Big Ed?
Oh, you're so funny. No. I am 6'4" and 240.
Wow.
Okay, so you are Big Ed.
Yeah,
nice
that's right.
To hear from you.
What you got for us, Big Ed?
Okay, look, the Redskins are banged up, and it looks like we should just roll them right on over. Straight running game, right down their gut. I mean, really just tell Rashad, count whoever's a Redskins middle linebacker and just run at him the whole game. Just run at him. I love the slants from last week. We need to continue that. I can tell you that for sure. We definitely need to continue the slants. But we definitely going to have to play careful, but not too careful, on that pass D. Because they're going to be calling on a lot. We've been catching a lot of that. You know, it's a lot of those calls going on all season. For every game, they're calling on a lot of stuff. That means we should be able to exploit and go deep. The deeper we go, somebody's going to mess up. And that's the big key for the game. A big, deep down the field penalty. That's what's going to be the key to the game. Go go ahead. Well, tell me what you think of that.
Thank you for calling in, Big Ed. Really appreciate it. You enjoy the game tonight.
Well, Big Ed, let me just tell you something. Okay. So, historically, in the last, when Gilbride was here, we, the Giants, depended on that big, deep ball that he's talking about.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
That is not what the Giants are depending on these days. And I'm going to give you a statistic here because we, on game day, all of us, including Anita and all the people that work for the Giants broadcasting, we do our research and we dig into those statistics to help us make us look like we know what we're talking about all the time. All right? But here's one for you, Big Ed, and for all the others that are listening. Check this out. Okay? Eli Manning, 99.7 passer rating on all his short throws. Short throws are 15 yards and under. Okay? 6.9. passer rating for any of them over, okay? 5 TDs, 2 picks in the short throws, 0 TD, 2 picks. They are going to use the short passing game, okay, to stop the rush, you know, for the Redskins. They're going to go ahead and keep that in there. But one good thing about the Giants rushing the way they did last week is that the team that they're playing, no matter who it is, has to respect that rush,
right.
Okay? And so if no better tool and no better statistic or 176 yards rushing for Jennings, but they had almost 200 yards collectively for the whole team, is that they have to respect the run, which then opens up the passing game. And one thing about the West Coast offense, it's all predicated itself on those horizontal passing routes, but you can set the run up, and once in a while, you're going to get that big play, and maybe it's tonight, and hopefully, maybe next week, get Beckham back, because that's why the Giants drafted Beckham. They put this offense in before they drafted Odell Beckham. They knew that they had to have a guy that could get over the top.
Right.
And they don't have him right now. So when they do get him back, that's going to be an extra weapon for this Giants offense.
I'm having a major blonde moment right now. Do we know when Kelvin Benjamin was drafted? Was Kelvin Benjamin on the board when the Giants drafted? Did they go Odell Beckham before Kelvin Benjamin? I'm just curious.
I'm going to guess that he went after him.
Right.
I'm just my guess.
Okay. I think you make an excellent point in that Odell Beckham Jr. fits this offense more so than Kelvin Benjamin. But Kelvin Benjamin is blowing it up in Carolina. Wow. Here is a tweet for you. Sunny Boy 2323. If we go, that's his.
Sunny Boy, we got Big Ed and Sunny Boy.
I'm not calling you Sunny Boy.
No, I know. It is Sunny Boy. But we get Big Ed and Sunny Boy.
I know.
We're in New Jersey.
It's great. If we go with Andre Williams, more, would that show our hand more on offense? Question mark. Hillis can catch out of the backfield better. Thoughts on that?
Well, Andre Williams, he has to work on his. I don't think he caught a pass in college out of the backfield. But I missed the last part of it. If
your thoughts on Peyton Hillis playing,
Peyton,
is he a better,
absolutely,
is he better,
yeah,
better utilized in this offense as a pass catcher out of the backfield?
No question.
More so,
so
than
if you have to go, if the Giants are their run game is kind of stopped a little bit, and that they're giving the ball to Jennings a lot, and they want to get him a breather, and it says to the offensive coordinator, Brendan McAdoo, hey, listen, you know what? We like to get some more catches out of the backfield. Peyton Hillis is definitely a better pass catcher. He's also not a bad runner. We're not asking Peyton Hillis or Andre Williams to go in there and carry him 20 times each for them. So, really, on second and third down, if those guys have to be in there, I would go with Peyton Hillis, most definitely.
201-939-4513 is the phone number you want to get in. Anita Marks, Jeff Fiegels with you until 1 o'clock Eastern Time. Hopefully you're enjoying your nice little lunch break and listening to our Giants. This is kind of the pregame show, right? Because you have a pregame show coming up a little bit later on this evening.
We do.
Right?
Giants WFAN? Pregame on WFAN. I think we're on CBS tonight first, though, because they're Yankee games.
So this is a warm-up for you.
This is a pregame warm-up.
Right? This is a warm-up for you.
Yeah.
This
you know,
is,
we get to go out, test the field, see the wind conditions, which we have none today.
This is your walkthrough.
You know?
I do want to get into Kirk Cousins in the Washington offense a little bit later, but let's continue with our calls. Let's go to Lynn. My guy Lynn calling in from Maryland. Lynn, what is up? No?
Nope, Lynn left
not
us.
There? Okay. Well, let's go to Max then. Max calling in from New York.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Great.
I just wanted to make a point. I don't know if you guys agree or not. But I think the interesting thing about tonight's game is, especially from the defensive side of the ball, I feel like you laid out a lot of games, especially against Detroit. We don't know how that worked out. But, you know, just that, you know, you came in kind of saying if you can stop their throwing, you're going to have an easy time. Some teams, it's just, you know, you can stop their run game, you might have an easier time. But I think the key with the Redskins, and I think the Giants can do this, but I think the key with them is they're very average on pretty much all aspects of the offense. You know, when you have Pierre Garçon and Sean Jackson, excuse me, a 400-yard thrower last week, you know, and then you have Alfred. I feel like it's, you know, I think it's going to be tougher.
Those three guys are
but
average?
I think they can do it because I think they're very, you know, average at a lot of aspects.
I don't think those three guys are average one bit. Garçon led the NFL in receiving last year. Okay, you know what DeSean Jackson can do, and Alfred Morris. So I, you know, those all three of those guys are they're not average players. Do you not agree with me there? You're saying that they're average?
Oh no. I was just saying as far as that offense works.
Okay.
They're not exactly a pass-heavy or run-heavy offense.
Yeah, but let's get it. Hey, and thank you so much for the phone call. Really do appreciate it. And keep them coming, folks. I mean, we're really here for you. This is a show for Giants fans on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. But what a different offense this is.
Oh, yeah.
In Washington with Kirk Cousins at the helm. And it goes to show you, listen, RG3 came out. He was the starting quarterback. You know, zero read option plays in week one. And you know I'm really big into fantasy, right?
Yes.
Have we met before? So, yeah. So you know, the numbers and the success that RG3 was not putting together because and I use this as an example. I look at RG3 and him coming out of Baylor. You know, he's this like really phenomenal, like exotic animal, beautiful animal, like player.
Like
you know,
a,
like he ran like a gazelle, and passing the ball. Like he just was like it was a work of art the way that he played football.
Right.
And that's all gone away. And a lot of it, of course, is because of his injury.
I believe another
is because of the offense that Jay Gruden has installed there. It doesn't benefit what he can bring to the equation. Now you look at Kirk Cousins, and this is an offense. You know, I look at Andy Dalton. This is an offense that fits Andy Dalton. Of course, Hugh Jackson is tweaking it in Cincinnati. But this is an offense that fits him, and now Pierre Garçon woke up in regard to fantasy football last week. DeSean Jackson got some love. The offense and the passing attack is working, so it opens up things for Alfred Morris. This is an offense, in my opinion, that fits Kirk Cousins, and I think that's why we're seeing Kirk Cousins have more success in Washington than RG3. Agree or disagree?
Well, I think I agree with you in a sense that, you know, when Jay Gruden was hired, Kirk Cousins was pretty happy seeing what he did at Cincinnati for Andy Dalton. I think when you look at these two guys, I don't want to compare them because Andy Dalton's been playing at a high level for a long time, but this system fits Kirk Cousins, okay? Jay Gruden got here and RG3 was already here, but he's the head coach. He's the offensive genius. He's going to change some things. They're still going to try to use as any player, they want to use the strengths of the position for the player that's on the field. Okay, so you're not going to totally abandon everything that he's ever done because that wouldn't do well for you. But the fact is they took a lot of the read option out, okay, for two reasons. Number one, it just doesn't seem to fit what Jay Gruden wants to do. And the second thing is that the health issue, as you mentioned, he can't stay healthy.
Right.
So from a perspective of an organization, when I hear and read about what will happen now when RG3 is healthy again and Kirk Cousins is playing the way he does or does not, we don't know that yet, but what's going to happen? And that's really what you have to look at. And I think that if Kirk Cousins is doing what he has done like last week, you keep the guy in there if you're winning football games. But if he's not, then RG3 will come back in. And it's very interesting to see how the fans, from a fan's perspective, Anita, who, you know, where it's split down the middle. There's guys that want RG3, but then there's guys that want Kirk Cousins. To me, if I'm a fan, I don't care who's in there as long as they're winning games.
As long as you're winning games,
yeah,
right.
Exactly.
And they had a close one last week against Philadelphia.
Oh, that was watching some of that game and just the way and I think this is an advantage for the Giants because that's a tough loss for them last week. Offensively, what they did against the defense for the Eagles.
To have that much success and then still walk away with the loss is...
Absolutely. And then they lose...
You don't sleep for a few days, right?
Okay, so you lose the game after an offensive, just a powerhouse game. And then, not only that, you lose the players that they did,
D'Angelo Hall.
D'Angelo Hall, right. Okay.
They lost a safety as well. I mean, they're pretty depleted in that secondary.
So that is kind of an advantage in my perspective for the Giants. You know, so this team is coming off a tough loss, and they've coming off injuries. The Giants coming off a great win. Everything is shooting up for them. So we'll see what happens.
201-939-4513. Get that phone number in your phone. Lock and load it. Anita Marks in today on Thursday.
All day.
Today, Friday. Feels like a Friday. On Thursday, weather conditions here are horrible. Just horrible. And from what I understand, I spoke to Paul Dottino on my way in. I wanted to get some nuggets that I could share with some of our viewers out there. And he said that it's raining cats and dogs. And he said the field is just going to be a disaster. It might be the mud bowl.
Well, it's a disaster anyway. Right. Whether it's raining or not, that field's horrible. So
right.
If it isn't, hopefully they have the tarp on it. But, you know, even though the tarp's on there, there's still water that gets through there, you know. So
through
it's
there?
Kind of
I
through
like
the cracks
move.
And things like that. Jeez. But, yeah, I mean, it's, I checked the weather earlier and it said, I used to check, I was a weatherman when I was playing.
Right.
How is,
as a punter,
I could care
to,
about
right?
this. It was always about the weather and the wind and
right.
it's supposed to stop raining. So hopefully that'll be good. And, cause there's nothing worse playing in a game when it's raining. It's just, you got
it's no fun.
No, you're out of your routine.
Right.
You know,
and as a quarterback, I will say this, some quarterbacks will say, it's not a big, it's harder to throw the ball.
Sure it is. Yeah. Because I don't care. They only have 10 balls in the game. So at one point in time, they're all going to get wet.
Is it 10 or 12?
12.
Okay. Let's go to Lynn in Maryland. Is this my buddy Lynn? I haven't spoken to you in weeks, man.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm great.
How are
you?
Hi,
welcome
Jeff.
To the show.
Hi, Lynn. How are we doing?
Good.
Lynn is a regular.
A regular. Okay.
Yeah. He's remember that show Cheers?
Yeah.
Right. Who was the heavy set guy who'd walk in and they?
Norm.
Norm. He's like Norm.
All right. Ray Norm.
What's up, Lynn?
Thank you. 7 hours and 55 minutes to kickoff, but who's counting?
You Great. Are, obviously.
Thanks for reminding us.
Listen, I don't ever want to suggest that a win over anybody isn't important. It sure looked good Monday morning to look in the standings in the newspaper and see a one in the win column. That was a while coming, and I'm glad we got it, but there's something about, for me anyway, something about a division game, particularly one on the road, and I guess it's of a little more importance to me because I live down this way, and I have to deal with a lot of Redskin fans and so forth, but there's something about a division game. Jeff, we only have to worry about J.J. Watt one more time in the next 4 years, but we got to figure out how we're going to get Ryan Kerrigan blocked 8 times in the next 4 years.
Well,
we can do this. We can do the same thing with JPP. That tackle on Houston is a pretty good tackle, Dwayne Brown.
Yes.
But hey, for me, JPP, your worth to us is how you're going to do the next 8 games over the next 4 years against Trent Williams, who is as good as Dwayne Brown was.
Well, that'll be a really good matchup tonight to watch on TV. With JPP and Trimble. They are two outstanding players, and I think that from the standpoint of JPP being back, 1.5 sacks already this year, but more
yep.
importantly, he's got a lot of pressures on the quarterback. He's playing the run well. He's healthy, and I think he's only going to continue to get better, and that defense relies on JPP. I think they feed off of him
at the end
position.
And to make it even more dramatic, Jeff, I'm really getting built up for this game tonight, you can tell. But to even get it a little bit more dramatic, you know, it's fourth quarter in these division games. Who comes through?
Sure.
When it's on the line in the division games, who makes the plays? Can we stop Kerrigan in the fourth quarter? Does Eli remain hot? You know, you look back through these division games, and Eli's just been terrific. And
yeah, guess what?
Just,
Kirk Cousins has not played well in the second halves of the games that he started. So
yep.
when you talk about who could possibly do better in a close division game,
yep.
maybe a rain, you know, muddy muck muck,
yep.
I would put my
yep.
Money on Eli. He's got
muck,
the experience
muck.
And muck muck.
You just called a rainy muck muck?
Muck muck.
Okay.
But
yep.
I would put my money on Eli to be able to come through in that
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And that's the measure of his, for me, Jeff. That's the measure of his worth. Fourth quarter, division games, You know, the guy comes through. And that's what, I mean, that's what you want. I mean, you know, we gotta win these games. That's how you get to the playoffs. I know, I'm happy with the win over Houston, but still, there's something exciting about these games. Hey, I'm getting ready as usual. I'm going over. I'm gonna be there. Sorry, I'm gonna miss you guys. It's always a great night over there, and there's nothing better than walking out of FedEx after a Giants win.
No question.
Fun,
well,
so
enjoy your evening, and go Giants.
For joining us.
Okay.
This
hey, Anita, good to talk to you. Good to talk to you again.
Enjoy the game. Stay safe. Okay. Hey, we had Black Caesar, his Twitter handle. He said you've got to slap the Giants pride poster for good luck.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So well, I did it already.
Okay.
You've got to.
Well, hold on.
You've got to get in there. There you go. All right.
And I look. I probably look terrible doing that, but I got a cup of coffee here, and the cord only goes to
it's
Anita.
All good. It's all good. So hopefully, Black Caesar's happy.
You know, I got
that.
I've been. See, this is 2 weeks in a row now that I've slapped something.
Right. Oh, I won't ask.
And
what
in today's
your
NFL world, I'm. You're probably afraid for me to go there.
Yeah,
but
don't.
Craig Carton had his pig slap.
Show,
I got the slap the pig in the parking lot.
Okay.
That didn't bring the Giants any luck, but maybe this will bring them some luck this week. And you know, when you like the caller had talked about, is that these division games are so important, especially right now for the Giants, because they cannot afford not only to lose a game in the division, their first game, but to go to 1-3, 2-2 is a lot better and sounds a lot better and is a little more sexy than 1-3, because you drop to 1-3, you got a long ways to go.
You do, and you're at the bottom of the barrel of this division. I mean, listen, I felt the Eagles were really going to be the dominant team in this division.
I think everybody did, sure.
So it's not a surprise that they're 3-0. I'm really surprised that Dallas is 2-1. I'm probably one of the biggest surprises.
Especially the way with the health of Tony Romo.
Yeah, yeah, 2-1. What's going on there? So this is an important game in that regard.
Yeah.
That when whoever walks away tonight, you don't want to be the bottom of the barrel of the NFC East.
You know, it's interesting, Anita.
You just don't want to do
it. I was reading today, the Giants are playing all of their division games on the road in the next 4 weeks.
Wow.
Timeline.
Look at you doing your homework before you come
but
into
that's,
the show.
But that's tough.
That's
Think
very
about
tough.
It. All of their road division games in the next 4 weeks collectively. So, listen, you get buried in the division right away, you're not getting out, especially the way that the Eagles and the Cowboys are playing, like Anita had mentioned. So this is a must. And do we say a must win more recently than ever? This is another must win for the Giants.
Absolutely.
Especially on the road.
Absolutely. And really quick here, just to make a quick mention, Philadelphia is on the road. They traveled to San Francisco. They're taking on the San Francisco 49ers. That's a 4:00 Sunday game. San Francisco is 2-1. Defense not as good as it's been in the past.
No.
There's some talk that maybe this is Harb's last year. Maybe he's going to go to Michigan. Who knows?
Boy, they could use him
and
there.
And then maybe, I don't know, Jay Gruden heads out to San Francisco. So Philadelphia taking on a San Francisco team that has not looked great. They're sitting at 1-2. Colin Kaepernick, that offense hasn't looked fantastic. He does get his tight end back, Vernon Davis, this week. And also you've got the Dallas Cowboys who are going up against the Saints. They are home. The Saints 1-2.
Who's
they
home?
Lost to Cleveland.
Who's
who loses
home there?
To Cleveland?
Is the Cowboys at home or is it the Saints at home?
Oh, Cowboys are at home. Saints are on the road. They travel to Dallas.
They're
they take on the Dallas
they're a different
Cowboys.
Team on the road.
But the Saints lost to Cleveland.
Yeah.
What?
I wouldn't fall asleep on that Saints team. I just think that you know, they've just had a little rough go, but I still think they're tops in the NFC, even though they're at 1-2. But the Cowboys, okay, let's give them their credit for about 2 seconds. You ready? 1001, 1002.
We'll move on. 201-939-401.
We're not giving the Cowboys any more credit than that.
Let's go to Dennis calling in from New York. Dennis, welcome to the show. What you got for us?
Giving the Cowboys any more credit than that.
Hey, Dennis.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. You've got to turn the volume down. You've got to turn your volume down.
Afternoon, Anita and Jeff.
Hi.
1 second, I got to shut the sound off here.
Yeah. Just throw it out the
Sorry,
window.
We should have.
Okay. Jeff, I want to go back to your discussion about special teams, if you might.
Sure.
The push in the back, when I'm watching you and you commented about Moore's push in the back penalty, and you see it happen so often. I know I know that you can say that that's correctable, but why is it? Does it even happen as much as it does? Is it stupidity or
you kinda,
emotion?
Don't you
kind of
sense
on?
It? You're sitting in your living room and you watch the punt, and then you just see these guys run down the field, and you just kind of like, before it even happens, you kind of know that there's going to be a flag on this play, right? But it's very difficult to block the way that they want you to on that play. It's all about positioning, okay? And if you have one hand on the back and you just barely push him a little bit, they're going to call a flag, okay? So it all comes down to technique, and Coach Quinn and all the special teams coaches around the league, they work on this fundamental of downfield blocking, getting in front of your runner, and you kind of mirror him down the road. And then the rule of thumb is this. If he crosses your face, you don't touch him. That's it. So if he's running down and he crosses your face, you gotta let him go, because you'd rather let him go and let your punt returner make him miss and maybe get 10 yards than just barely push him and get a 10-yard penalty from the spot of the foul. It's a demoralizing play for special teams, but it's a difficult block to make.
Let's continue with our calls.
Thanks for your call.
Dennis, did you have another question? He's gone. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Brandon, calling in from New York as well. Brandon, welcome.
Hi, how are you guys? I just have two quick things. I wanted to get your input about, until Beckham gets back, healthy, I really like the two tight end set with Danielle and Fells, because the big bodies for Eli. So I wanted to get your input on that. I'd like to see more of that. And also on Mark Herzlick, I really didn't think that we could win an NFL game with him at the middle. And he was always great on special teams. But then he went to the outside, and he had a really respectful game. So I wanted to get your input on those two things.
Thank you so much for your phone call, Brandon. Appreciate it. And thank you so much for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. The biggest criticism that I've heard about Herzlick is lack of communication. And at that middle linebacker position,
sure.
It's something that you absolutely positively need. Talk about that more so than just, obviously his athletic ability, his ability to go sideline to sideline, his speed, all that. What the Mike, the Sam, the Will, what do you think best fits?
Well, I think that I like the outside with him, because when you look at him physically, and we both have seen him, up front and close, and see how tall he is and how big he is, he kind of reminds me more of a defensive end rather than a middle linebacker. And I think that he fits well more on the outside. I don't think one of his problems is the fact that he cannot get off blocks. So playing in the middle, I think that's a disadvantage to him. As far as from the communication standpoint goes, Anita, is that it's very difficult in the National Football League, no matter who you are, to be able to making those calls, getting the guys lined up in the right position, and then going out and doing your job as a player at the middle linebacker position. That's what makes John Beeson and McLean and some of these other guys around the league so good, that they're able to get the guys and they're smart. Now, Mark Herzlick is a smart guy, but it can only take you so far, and I think that he has a problem, or just it's just to a disadvantage of him from that standpoint of making plays. He's just got a lot going on in his mind. Rather than just put him on the outside, he's got what he's got to do out there, not make any of the calls, and then just react as a football player.
201-939-4513. Here is another tweet coming in. Again, you can tweet us for the show. Make sure you include that hashtag Giants Chat. I will share those tweets to our viewers and pose the questions for Feegs as well. Arakpo going up against Beattie.
Sure.
Talk about that matchup.
Another good matchup. So, you're going to get...
And Arakpo, he has a cast, right? Doesn't he have
He's got a broken left finger.
So he's going to be playing apparatus. What do you call it?
He's going to be in a cast.
Okay. And, we'll just go with cast then.
That's tough. By the way, you make tackles with these, right?
Right.
So when you're in a cast, it's going to be a little bit more difficult. But I think that Jim Haslett is going to line him up where he has his hand in the, where he can use his right hand more than his left. So he might line, they might, him and Kearney might just move to the opposite sides. So, but they're both, he's having a good year. I think that he plays the run well, and obviously they have 10 sacks as a team, and they get after the quarterback. But one thing about the Giants is that you're no longer seeing the 7-step drop where Eli's sitting back there every once in a while. So if they can get to Eli quickly, then the Giants will have a long day. But I don't think they're going to be able to get to him that fast.
Here's a story for you. So years ago, I was the sideline reporter opposite Cordell Stewart for the UFL, the inaugural year of the UFL.
Yeah. Okay?
And Dave Sims and Doug Flutie did the play-by-play in the color. So, but we were a four-man team each game, and so I had a sideline and Cordell had a sideline. And what was great, it aired on Versus, which is now the NBC Sports Network. And what was so great about the broadcast is that we took you, like, we had the audio of the coach calling in the offensive plays to the quarterback. We had, halftime, we went in the locker room. Like, you know, the full access.
You actually had the play before?
Oh, which was great for Doug Flutie.
Okay. You know what I mean? That would be good for any guy calling a game.
Doug Flutie's hearing, you know, elephant wiggle, da-da-da-da-da, and then he knows what's coming, right?
Right.
He's like, oh, watch, Titan's going to go motion here. It was great for Flutie. So, but anyway, back to my story. So the Florida Tuskers team, Jim Haslett was the head coach. Guess who his offensive coordinator was? Jay Gruden.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So they
now
worked
Jay
together
Gruden
very
is
good.
Now the head coach of Washington, and Jim Haslett is his defensive coordinator. These two have been together a very long time.
And I think that that's important because if you look at what happened last year with Shanahan and Haslett, I think that Shanahan had a lot more to do with the defense not playing like they should have than people know. And I think that Jim Haslett has this relationship with Jay Gruden. Jay Gruden has said, listen, dude, I'm handling the offense. You're handling the defense. I'm not going to come in and impede on what you're doing. I think a lot of times last year, Mike Shanahan was going to Jim Haslett and saying, you know what? I want you to do this because I am a genius at everything that's in football, and it just didn't work. So I think defensively, this Washington Redskins game is playing well. They played well last year.
They're doing well now in the NFL in sacks, by the way.
Absolutely. And
so
I think
hopefully Eli stays.
But you know, if you and I work together a lot and we did things good, and then we parted our separate ways. Okay, when we got back together, it would be great.
We
would have that respect level for each other. Right. We would know kind of how you
kinda
work
like
and
today.
How I work.
Kind of like today.
Kind of like today, right? Exactly.
201-939-4513 is the phone number. Let's continue with our calls. We're with you for another 15 minutes, so I'm going to try to get as many calls in as I can before
Wow, time
before
goes
Feeks
by quick. We only have 15 minutes left?
That's it. I know. Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Gee whiz.
If you hear in that growl, it's my stomach.
Well, at least I get to look at Anita rather than like John Schmelt or Lance Meadow, you know?
Let's go to line four. Shakes.
Oh, in the corner of the 5-yard line.
Baltimore. Oh. Shakes, what is up?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? I can barely hear y'all.
Yeah, we're having some technical difficulties.
We can hear you, though.
I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, I just wanted to say this off top. Jeff Eagles, thank you for the Super Bowl.
You're welcome.
Thank you for, I think that you're one of the best punters of all time with the coffin punts and in the corner.
Thank you.
Know, the 5-yard line, pinning the offenses back a lot in your career with the Giants, so we appreciate it. As Giants Nation, I know you probably heard it before, but yeah.
Thank
from
you.
Me, we hey. Appreciate it.
I don't mind not, I, hey, I if you... If every caller wants to tell me that, I don't mind hearing it.
Actually,
yeah,
well,
I know you don't.
Shakes, actually, the other day I had to use a dictionary, and I came across it said coffin corner, and there was actually a photograph of you.
Perfect.
Yeah.
You know they don't. Yeah. Use,
him, right?
Nobody
coffin
does that
corner,
anymore.
Right there, Fiegel.
No,
oh,
no, it's kind of lost. It's hard to do though. It's hard to do. You mastered it though.
It's hard to do. You're right. It's very, very difficult, and that's why nobody does it anymore. They do with that Aussie kick now. That's so easy and it's
Shakes,
so boring. Really,
your,
I mean, remember how exciting it was when that ball went out on the 5 and it kicked to the right and everybody jumped up in the air. Now it's the Aussie kick, fair catch at the 6-yard line. Big deal. Now it gives more people reasons to go get a beer.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody
yeah.
wanted to get a beer on fourth down when I was
corner.
Kicking. Now everybody just leaves on fourth down to go get a beer because it's stupid.
Yeah,
awesome.
Exactly.
Shakes.
Exactly.
I want to try to get as many calls in as I can. What's your question?
Okay. Oh, yeah. I just wanted to say it seems like you were speaking on, you know, the special teams. Both of the teams has done bad in a few games that we did have with special teams. So I guess it kind of comes down to who plays worse on special teams, who would lose the game.
Yeah.
And to me, I'm kind of afraid of DeSean Jackson if he does play. So, I mean, he has killed
there,
us
huh?
in the past, man. So, I mean, if he plays and they throw him back there, we got a man up. We got a man up on special teams. That's all I'm going to say right now.
You know how
thanks for the phone.
You know how you deal with that right there if they bring him in?
Yeah, can
you turn Steve Weatherford at a 45-degree angle, and you kick it out of bounds 40 yards. That's what Tom Coughlin's going to tell him.
Well, so. Matt Dodge couldn't do it.
Yeah, well, Matt Dodge couldn't do it. Hey, listen, I tried to do it.
Bring you out of retirement. No, I'm kidding. Steve Weatherford is the B. Is a
Deshaun Jackson got me killed 1 year in Philadelphia by Jeremiah Trotter. Okay, I kicked that ball about 2 yards from the sideline, and he brought it all the way around the side, and here comes Jeremiah Trotter, and he lit me up like a Christmas tree. I got my own rule because of it. It's called the Fegels rule.
Did you need some smelling salt after that?
Oh, I needed more than smelling salt, yeah. Yeah. I needed some, like, a shot of whiskey or
how
something.
Impressed, real quick before we continue, Marco, you're next. Hang tight. How impressed are you with Steve Weatherford punting with torn ligaments in his foot?
You know what?
That's ridiculous.
Tough. Yeah, absolutely. You know, and my hat's off to him to go out there and just try to get it done because, you know, he's not going to do it the way he likes to do it, you know, when he's healthy. But most importantly, he's a tough guy, he's a team guy, and he's going to try to do everything he can to help the team win.
All right, let's go to Marco calling in from Connecticut. Marco, welcome to Big Blue Kickoff Live.
Hey, Marco.
Hey, Jeff and Anita. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome. Where are you at in Connecticut?
I'm in New Haven, Connecticut.
New Haven, okay. Well, I got my son is a UConn Husky, so I head up there all the time now. So that's 84-84. If you ever want to find me, I'll be on there on that highway once in a while.
I will. So you make the ride to stores.
Exactly. Right in there to Hartford for the games.
Awesome. Well, good luck to him and to the program. And Jeff, I echo what Shake said. Thank you so much for being a great punter for us in the Super Bowl. Absolutely. My call, guys, is about tonight, and I wanted to ask you, you know, Jeff, since you're on, about the special teams tonight. It looks like with the weather that special teams is going to be a huge factor in the game. So maybe you could share a little bit about Steve Weatherford and give us some insight about how his game might change tonight compared to if they were playing, on a dry field or indoors.
Yeah.
And get your insight on that.
Well, I think from how I would take it, when I used to play and it was going to be really a crappy game weather-wise, okay, the first thing you want to do collectively is hang on to the football on both sides. Okay, returning and when you're punting, catch the football, things like that. But to, you just have to do the best you can if it's going to be windy and rainy and trying to execute the kick, and you rely more on your coverage teams at that point, because a lot of times if the weather is bad, you're not going to get the greatest kick, which then now you're kind of asking your cover guys to go down there and do a good job for you.
I got a tweet here from Big John.
Giants. Another big
Everybody's
guy.
Big, right? Big John. Big Ed. He said, I think the weather and field situation is greatly exaggerated. Rain has stopped in D.C.
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying earlier. I think it's going to clear up in this game. They got the tarp on the field, and if anything, it might that stadium gets a little bit windy because of where it's at. But listen, if the rain stops and they take the tarp off, it is over exaggerated, and then they're just going to go through with their game plan. So
201-939-4513. Just 7 more minutes. You want to get in on the show? Now's the time to do it before Feegs and I go feast.
We're gonna eat.
Yeah.
You guys are eating with us now, and we're going to eat afterwards.
This girl can eat. Tell them.
Well, it's not hard to eat when you can eat in that cafeteria. Gee whiz.
Let's go to Mark, who's calling in from Washington. Mark, give us an update. What's the weather like right now? Has it stopped raining? Is everybody making much ado about nothing?
Yeah. It's all right.
Okay.
Good.
I just wanted to ask you one thing. What do you think... I don't know. Who do you think is starting today? Matt Barrett, Steve Brown, and Quentin Demps.
I think Quentin Demps will be in there. I think
Thanks
they need
for your call, Mark.
They need his experience. Last year he started 13 games for the Chiefs, and really they brought him in here at the Giants to be a returner and for exactly what you're seeing right now.
Let's talk about this for a second, because I'm pretty disappointed that Stevie Brown has been benched. But folks need to understand, you know. After you, let me preface by saying I've had 7 knee surgeries. I've had 3 ACL reconstruction. I've had 4 meniscus repairs.
So you know what he's going through.
You are not 100. I don't care what an athlete says.
No.
I don't care how many oxygen tanks he sleeps in. I don't care. He's got the best physical therapist. You are not 100% for at least 12 to 18 months.
Sure.
You're just not. And but every time I've spoken to Stevie Brown, how you doing? Great. How's the knee feel? Great. Okay. I don't, but he doesn't come across to me as the type of player that is going to complain about something or no. use excuses for
right.
anything. But I honestly believe that a lot of it has to do, Jeff, with the fact that he's coming off of an ACL.
Well, yeah.
And he's just, he needs a little bit more time.
I think that he's just missing that top end. Okay. I think that he can cover the way he's been doing it, but, you know, last week he got beat over the top, and I think that two years ago he makes that play, or maybe even makes an interception, because he's a ball hawker. He goes, the one year he had those 8 interceptions, that's his play. But right now he's missing that little afterburner gear, and I think that Quentin Dimps was brought in here because of the fact that he's a veteran guy. He was really brought in here to be a kickoff returner. But in case Stevie Brown didn't do what they thought he was going to do, he would be a very viable backup. And then Nate Bird is going to be able, he's a good player, the missile. Okay, and I've been very impressed with him in preseason. He's a good tackler, and you might see him in some packages tonight too.
All right, let's go to Ohio. My family's originally from Akron, by the way. Tom, welcome to the show.
How are you guys doing?
Great. What part of Ohio?
Actually, in Massillon.
Okay. What you got for us?
My question is I know everybody's saying JPP needs to, have a stellar game, but I think it's time for Keelan Nuka to step up and be the man he's supposed to be.
Well, what about last week?
Because then
he played pretty good last week.
You didn't.
Yeah, that's one game, though, buddy. He did all right. But I think we need to see that play from him this week.
I think the Kiwi is, obviously he's gotten a lot older. He's not an every down player, as we know. And I think that's why you're seeing DeMontre Moore in there a little bit more. You got Robert Ayers is in there. He's having a good year. So, but I think Kiwi just has to just play the way he's capable of playing. He's not going to be your 10-12 sack guy, but he's a smart player, two down player. But he does need to play on a consistent basis. I do think that he has some good games and then some bad games. But luckily for the Giants, they did their homework and got some guys in here. DeMontre Moore, I think we all knew eventually he was going to be a good player. He's just young. I mean, for God's sake, the guy's only like 22, 23 years old.
Yeah.
And he's going to be a force to be reckoned with in the future. And he's starting to play like they want him to play.
All right, I've got two last questions for you.
You got it.
One is out of the NFL box, and it's the Major League Baseball box, because tonight is a special night, and it's not only because, I think I'm getting a little teary-eyed right now, it's not only because the Giants play on Thursday Night Football, but it's Derek Jeter's last game.
Yeah, for people that have kind of grown up with Derek around,
man. What a night in New
York. Yeah. And you know what? You kind of wish it was a better night, but maybe the God, will say, hey, Derek Jeter's retiring. Last home game. We got to, you got to part the skies,
Exactly.
Because there's a lot of people that are going to that game, and there's been talk of them. Maybe they're not going to make it up, whatever it is. But
no, they wouldn't. I mean, Yankees are out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, this,
so they wouldn't make it up. So,
but what a career. If you want to have somebody that your kids can idolize and really kind of understand how you do things professionally and what you see in professional sports in today's world with what's going on in the NFL. And everything, just look at Derek Jeter and how he conducts himself both on and off the field, and there's your role model.
Have you had, in all your time here in New York, have you had an opportunity to meet him?
No, I did not.
No, really?
I've got to see him play a couple times,
right.
But, you just kind of, you see him play on TV, and you hear him on the radio, and it's just nothing but good things.
I had an opportunity to meet him when I was down in Baltimore, and I was working down there, and my radio show was broadcast by Mid-Atlantic Sports Network, which is owned by the Orioles. So I met him on several occasions down there, and just really such a nice kind of...
Nice, sweet guy like me.
Just a nice guy. Just like a really great guy.
Absolutely.
Kind of, you hit the nail on the head. The kind of guy that you walk into your child's room, that's the poster you want on their wall.
Sure.
That's who you want them to kind of aspire to be and emulate.
And Derek Jeter, he knew how to conduct himself, and he knew how to do things, and he knew how to prepare, and he played the game like every athlete should play, and that's with all his heart and all his effort and an ultimate team player. That's why he's the captain.
All right, last question for you. Let's end on this.
Sure.
Three keys, Jeff Fiegel's
three keys tonight, huh?
To the Thursday night football game for the
well,
Giants.
Well, I think, one, the Giants have to... They can't turn the ball over on the road. No matter what team you're playing on the, you can't turn the ball over, okay? They did a nice job last week. Didn't have any turnovers. Going into the game, they had 6 prior to that. So that's the first thing,
okay?
The second thing, so that would be an offensive, okay? The other one is that they're going to have to try and stop this running game of the Redskins. I think the Redskins are going to come out and try to run the ball, okay? They may not be able to, and if they don't, then the secondary for the defense has got to step up and try to get some turnovers again. I think turnovers are going to be the big thing in this game. Whoever gets the most turnovers is going to win the game. That's it. It's very simple.
Okay.
That easy.
That's your formula.
And because they're playing on Thursday night, how much preparation do you need that? Hey, don't turn the ball over. You win the game. Let's go.
All right, so some programming news and notes here before we sign off. First and foremost, make sure you tune into the MSG Network. We have our first in 10 show that is previewing the game. If you missed it yesterday, we'll make sure you tune into it today, tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the MSG Network. And Jeff Fiegels has his pregame show, as you said it. So it's not on WFAN. It's on 8. Is it
CBS, yeah.
It's on CBS Radio?
I'd be CBS Radio. I don't know what the number is.
You don't know what the numbers are.
Yeah, it's myself, and Lance Meadow, and Paul Dottino.
Find it on your radio.
It's
so
there
Jeff,
somewhere.
Jeff Fiegels will be a part of Jeff Fiegels, Paul Dottino, Lance.
And John Schmel.
So they'll be a part of course, that Giants radio pregame show. Make sure you tune into that. And I believe, I want to say, are you back here tomorrow?
No, I will not be here tomorrow, but I think from going forward, Fridays are going to be my day.
Yeah. You're going to be the Friday guy.
The Friday, Fiegels Friday, you want to call it.
Done.
There you go.
Done.
Put it up.
In the books.
Put it up.
Then I do believe it might be Lance and Schmelk
I believe
here
it is.
Tomorrow.
Yes. Yep.
To, of course, either celebrate with you or talk you
or
off
commiserate.
The ledge. Hopefully, it'll be not the latter.
Hopefully it's a good celebration because that'll mean the Giants will go to 2-2 and they get their first division win on the road.
Fantastic. Hey, thank you again for tuning in to Big Blue Kickoff Live. For Jeff Fiegels and Anita Marks, enjoy the game later on this evening.
Well, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go.
Yeah, he's got through. 35, 30.